We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
Paddock fired out of two adjoining rooms using a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Several flying saucers there of extraterrestrial origin.
Digging Chris Graves.
Hey, welcome back to Digging Chris Graves. We are live on Rumble and Twitter, I believe. And I'd love to welcome back my very good friend, the awesome Billy Ray Valentine, a host of the Infinite Fringe podcast and also co-host of America Unplugged on Saturdays at noontime. Welcome back, sir.
What's up, buddy? How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's an honor, seriously. And I don't think you've ever been on Digging before. You were on a show that I used to do that no longer exists. Well, kind of. Some of the we're replaying some of the saved ones, but
right.
But anyway, how are you today?
I'm good, man. Just walked in.
I did a little while ago too. Yeah, I was scrambling too in traffic.
Oh, really? I made myself a tortilla with some mozzarella, no, some cheddar cheese and. I'm ready to go, brother. What's going on? What you got?
Well, I just wanted to, right off the bat, just tell everyone how Free World's doing right now and where they can find it and how they can help the cause.
Well, you can find freeworld.fm at freeworld.fm, right? Go there. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that are going live now. There's still some people that we have to onboard. There's emails I need to return from people that have hit me up that are interested in providing content, which is dope, you know, and we want that. So I have to do that. Tony hired some people on the back end of things. It's Tony Harderburn to make things run a bit smoothly. So we're slowly but surely getting there, but we need, you know, people to go over and support, not necessarily monetarily, just we need your ears and your eyes, right? Go over there. Well, not necessarily your eyes, but we do need your ears for now, for now, you know, and go over there and listen to all the hosts. Thing is, not everybody's live right now, right? So, but a lot of people are, especially today, right? There's a lot of people that go live today on Friday. I'm supposed to go live, but I just don't have the access right now. Eventually I'll be doing that. And we'll have a really packed out lineup on Fridays, moving forward. So, so far so good.
Have you, I was going to ask, do you think eventually the part of the plan is to incorporate FM and AM stations on the radio, or is it just internet only based? Has that thought crossed your mind?
Yeah. I'm thinking about terrestrial. I never thought about that. Internet and other internet access, other platforms that access internet radio, we'd probably stream that way, like TuneIn, iHeart, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Podcasting stations, apps that carry paranormal media or alternative media, stuff like that will be on there. Maybe a Sirius satellite at some point. That'd be dope. I don't know how we'd pull that off, but that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about FM or AM. You know, AM is really what the talk radio is, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of times for people to go on AM radio, they have to pay to be there. You know, they pay for their time.
Right.
I'm not trying to do that. Like if they give us some free time, yeah, we'll take it. Right.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. But I'm not trying to pay to be on the air, right? I mean, we're paying to be on the air on the internet. I'm not trying to pay to be on the air on an AM station, unless the situation is right. Maybe we'd dabble now that you mentioned it, but it's not in the plans.
Okay. Yeah. No, I only asked that because I've known some people in the past that I guess they had some kind of a license, FCC kind of license, and they did both. They were able to broadcast over the internet through their own platform, their own station. And then as long as they didn't have cuss words and things like that, they, you know, because I guess sometimes they'll just pull the show if it has certain words that we can say here. So
yeah, well, that would present the problem, wouldn't it? Right.
A very big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'd have an issue there, but anyway.
Well, anyway, let's get into if you're cool with it, just tell everyone how you came to the name Free World. Like I know the backstory, but for anyone that wasn't listening to us back in November of last year, I remember you told me the story, and maybe it was even off the air too.
I think it was off the air. Yeah,
it was intriguing though because I know the I know of the gentleman that kind of like. Oh, the floor is yours.
So I was a big fan of Anthony Hilder, who is a OG, a real OG conspiracy theorist, right, from back in the day, that that laid out the framework for a lot of what people believe nowadays or whatever. And I used to watch him. I watched what's the name of the documentary? It's not 9/11, the greatest story ever told, or the greatest lie ever sold, or something like that.
Ever sold. Yeah, I think. Yeah.
And that was his documentary. I was watching it and I was like, oh man, this guy's pretty good. Cause he has had incredible charisma, you know, and just the delivery. Like he brought you in. He was a showman, you know. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I needed that a lot of times to stay engaged with some of the material that was out at the time. And this guy was fantastic, you know. So I fought the internet for a long time. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't want to have anything to do with America Online, emails, nothing. I didn't want to touch it. You know, I just didn't want to have any. There was no presence. But I stumbled onto what my cousin told me to go on, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and DavidIcke.com and all these other things. So started dabbling. And that's how I stumbled upon Anthony Hilder. And then he had a website. It was called the Free World Alliance, right? And I stumbled upon that website, I don't know, about midnight at some, it was late at night. And I found this, the Free World Alliance. And he was like, let's build a Free World Alliance. That was his thing.
He had things like the News Flash. It was like whatever.
Movie reviews and all this stuff. It was a dope website for the time. And by the time I got to it, it was already not maintained, but it was still, you know, it just looked like a really fascinating abandoned house that you want to go in and take a look and you can still see remnants of what used to be. And you see maybe some interesting stuff, right? That was left behind, but it's not together anymore. That's what the website was.
Yeah.
And I was so intrigued by it. And I was like clicking on stuff and like looking for stuff. And I would click on some stuff, there would be nothing there. And then you click on other stuff, there's a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of information. And I was like, damn, you know, it was so, it stayed in my mind. I was so like, it made such an impression because it's the feeling like, I don't know. I you can liken it to music, right? So you, like the first time you heard
Metallica,
Nutshell by Alice in Chains.
Oh, one of my favorite songs of all time.
The first time you heard it, you know, it made an impact. You're like, what was that? You know, like, whoa, you know, or me, I'm a professional wrestling fan. So the first time I saw a ECW, like it was at 3 a.m. and I'm sitting there and like, what is this? And I'll never forget it. It was the same thing. The same feeling that I had with Anthony Hilder's website. And fast forward tons years later, you know, I had the idea to start a network and we were going to do it several times and it never really panned out. Then I met Tony, you know, and Tony's like, hey, you know, that's a good idea, maybe. and I told Tony, I was like, and we had a couple of other working names before that. But I told Tony, I was like, hey, man, you know, let's get the Free World Alliance. That's available. I'm like, let's buy it So it's a freeworldalliance.fm. So we bought that. Free World Alliance belongs to us. Like if I don't know if we've linked it yet, but if you go to freeworldalliance.fm, it's going to take you to freeworld.fm. But Tony goes, let's drop the alliance. Let's call it freeworld.fm. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Let's do that. So that's how it came about. But I wanted it to be super impressive. I wanted it to look a particular way. I wanted it to have, I don't know, like a big video.
Yeah.
It does, right? And right now,
if you go there, everyone that goes there will see the video you're talking about. They have like flashes of different things throughout history, like JFK assassination, Bigfoot. It's fantastic. Yeah.
We're going to be updating it soon, but I wanted that. I want some kid 18, 19 years old, or maybe, you know, younger than that, whatever, or somebody our age that is just like roaming the internet trying to find something to stumble onto freeworld.fm at 12 at night and say, what the hell is this? You know, and they start clicking around and they see the host and they press play and somebody's talking. I don't know if that feeling can be replicated nowadays, since it's so commonplace. Back in the day, this was new to me, you know? You find internet radio stations that they're a dime a dozen, but I think the website is pretty impressive. At least the first page at the moment, the rest of the website is going to be amazing once it's all completely done. But that's what I wanted to do. And Tony cut out the alliance. It's freeworld.fm. And I think it sounds better for it, but it's inspired off of the Free World Alliance. You know, that's Anthony Hilger. That's where it came from.
Well, for anyone out there that is interested in checking out Free World Alliance, it's still on the Wayback Machine. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because during the purge of the last few years, I thought that would definitely go, because I don't think anyone maintains it anymore, because it's like a time capsule now. And to be honest, I was excited about Free World Alliance back in the day when I started doing research, because he would post news articles that you couldn't find anywhere else. And that's where I was able to find a lot of information on the Columbine attack, 9/11 in the beginning, also JFK Jr. He had a lot of good stuff there. And it was like a wealth of information.
Right.
And and I know what you mean, where it seemed like it was like a ghost house. It was like,
Yeah, man. You know, go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris. Finish
it. No, that was pretty much where I was going with that. And I was always hoping that it wouldn't be a dead link to like one of the news stories, and I'd be like, no, what did we miss? You know,
right.
Because they like to do that too, whoever they are, or maybe it's just a natural thing with the internet. Like eventually, you know, links are gonna just die. You know,
right.
But it was a lot of juicy nuggets in those news articles, and you know, like people like you know, Rents.com would have a bunch of their articles on there, and I know, Rents isn't like for everyone, but he had a lot of good reporting on things like 9/11 in the beginning. And
I was going to go there, man. You took the words out of my mouth, right?
Rents.
When I first stumbled onto Rents, I was like, whoa, what's this? You know, and a ton of it was like Drudge back in the day, is what Rents probably still looks like that way. I don't really do Rents. Like whenever Don's on, sometimes I listen. You know, because Don Jeffries does Mondays over there at Rents, but
Rents.com is kind of like Free World Alliance is in terms of the Wayback Machine. Even though Rents's site is still live,
right?
I would go and find articles on the Wayback Machine just at the same time with Free World Alliance. They were two sources, and I don't agree with Rents's politics or anything like that. I put that to the side. You know what I mean? Just as a news resource.
Yeah,
like,
you know, it used to be amazing.
But it looks even Rents's website. No, you know, no offense to him. It looks like it's still stuck back in 1999. If you go there, like,
because it is. I remember. You remember the Tree Man?
The Tree Man.
Oh my God. Go look this up, man. It still gives me chills. And I saw this on Jeff Rents, right?
Yeah.
It says grows roots and is becoming a tree, right? And I'm like, this is nonsense, right? And
I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay. I hope he's okay now.
Well, they did several operations. It's actually a fungus that he got. I think he's in from he lives in Indonesia or somewhere. I think it's an Asian country. Okay. And he literally what looks like he was growing roots out of his hands. It's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right out of Guardians of the Galaxy, huh?
Yeah, it's Groot.
I am Groot.
Right. So he was literally like his face, everything. So they call him the Tree Man. They've shaved off whatever it was several times, but it keeps growing back and they don't know how to fix it. I stopped looking it up since, so I don't know if they fixed it or if he's passed away sadly. I don't know. But I found that on Rants, you know, and it was all of those fascinating type stories like that that were terrifying but exhilarating at the same time. It's like, oh my God, this guy's turning into a tree. How the hell? You know, and I don't know. That feeling is something that I don't know if we can ever replicate, you know. I mean, maybe we can try. We're doing Free World. Free World is serious, you know, regardless. Like, I mean, it's even though not to say that the Tree Man wasn't serious, you know, because
he could have died. Yeah.
I mean, that was real. It was a real disease. But I miss the days of like a National Enquirer type thing. I miss the days of
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Right. You know, I miss that sort of stuff. So
Bat Boy too, the World Report or whatever it was called.
It was dope. I love that. You know, I love looking. It's like I want to believe, right? I really do. You know, and there's tons of people out there that wanted to believe also, and that's why these things sold the way they sold.
Yeah.
You know, but wanting to believe and believing are two very different things.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to kind of in terms of like research, and if you're, you know, things like a mass shooting or a terrorist attack, unfortunately gets lumped in with the actual fun topics, you know, where there isn't murder and mayhem and misery.
Right.
And they're two very distinct and separate things, in my opinion. And unfortunately they usually, and I'm guilty of this too, like based on what shows I've done in the past where it would be a serious show, but then I do a show on like, you know, Sasquatch.
Those are dope, right?
Yeah.
Those are dope shows to do. Like, I love doing shows on Sasquatch or Bigfoot. My friend Stevie Richards, who is he used to wrestle for the WWE and ECW. He is friends with the curator of the Bigfoot Museum, and I think it's in Georgia.
I thought you meant Lauren Coleman, because he has the cryptozoology museum in Portland, Maine. I went up there, and it has in the glass case, it has the original camera used for the Gimlin. Lauren Coleman, he's like the OG, you know, cryptozoology guy. He's the one that coined various things in like the Bigfoot community and things like the Bridgewater Triangle that I talk about. That I actually
go up there, man. I'd love to see that, man. We gotta do a field trip and get up there. I wanted to go to Connecticut several times. I forget the name, but all the famous movies, the Annabelle movies, and
you know about it's the prop museum.
It's in Connecticut, but it's closed to the public. It has been since the pandemic. And they have and now what's the name of the couple?
I actually drove by the actual house in Rhode Island that the Conjuring took place.
Right. I forget the name of the couple. I'm drawing a blank.
The Warrens.
Yeah.
The Warrens. Yeah.
They're both dead, and since I think the wife outlived the husband. I don't remember. One of them outlived the other one.
Yeah.
And she recently passed away, and now that's when it's turned over to different owners, right. But it was available like for so long, and it's literally like a 2-hour drive for me, and I never went. You know, I always wanted to go, but I never did. But Annabelle is there. They have the real life Annabelle doll in there. You know, like, who doesn't want to freaking see? Well, there's a lot of people that don't want to see that, but I do, you know. So
I'd rather see Annabelle than Robert the doll.
I want to see Robert the doll.
Yeah, but you have to ask him like permission and stuff, apparently.
And I'd ask him permission very nicely. And then I'd sign whatever he wanted me to sign. Yeah. And I'd place that thing on the window and be about my business. I'm not going to screw around, right? People have not done that. Thought it was a joke, and the joke was on them at the end of things. But I'd love to see Robert the Doll. It's in Florida.
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. So we got to do that, man. You know, I mean, that's a road trip, right? Of all the, you know, mysterious conspiracy America, man. You
know, during the lockdown, I wanted to, if I had access to cameras and equipment and everything during the lockdowns, I was driving my family all up and down the East Coast, going to the various mysterious things, like up to even movie locations like Bangor, Maine, like where the actual pet cemetery is, you know, and things like that. And I went to Betty and Barney Hill's graves. And for anyone out there that's not familiar with Betty and Barney Hill, they're the first UFO abductees officially, yeah. I think.
Right.
And I went to their graves. Right. I went to the spot too, up in their, it's in New Hampshire, near the White Mountains, which coincidentally, mm-hmm. I went to the White Mountains in Arizona, where Travis Walton's incident was in the town of Snowflake, but they were called the White Mountains too. And those are like two of the most famous UFO abduction stories, you know, and the opposite coast. It's the weirdest thing. But yeah, no, what you just said, I would love to do as a TV show someday. And I know other people like on the Learning Channel and the History Channel, they've done like spooky road, you know, kind of spooky ghost hunter kind of road trips. But I wanted to do my own take on it.
They wouldn't do it like us, Chris.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can do it as many times as you want to do it. That doesn't mean you're going to do it like us. Right. So I'd love to do that. And eventually I think we will. During the pandemic, I got close to the Georgia Guidestones and I made a plea. I wasn't driving. I made a plea. I was like, let's go see them. And I got overruled and then they blew them up. So they're gone.
They're gone.
I've been to, during the pandemic, I went to Yale and I had been there before, but I went back to go to, Skull and Bones, right? Yep. I saw the tomb and I saw, Book and Snake, their tomb, Scroll and Key, their, I guess you could call it mausoleum. They all look like mausoleums except for Wolf's Head. Wolf's Head doesn't look like a mausoleum to me, even though it probably is. But Book and Snake and Scroll and Key, they look like mausoleum. Book and Snake is gorgeous. It's beautiful. I think it's better looking than the tomb.
Yeah.
But it's a lesser known secret society in Yale. And it's also right across the street from the cemetery, you know, and I wanted to see the Egyptian gate that they had there. So I got to see that. And tons of people were buried in there. I forget who, but famous people were buried in there. If you're ever around, they'll give you, it's free. And they give you like a little tour of it. And they tell you who the people are and what they're doing. Well, a bunch of bonesmen buried in there. And, you know, so I got to do that. But there's so much more to do, you know, so much more to, you know what I really want to see, Chris? The Mitchell Hedges crystal skull.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in Canada somewhere.
I thought it was in Mexico. No?
No, not the Mitchell Hedges one.
Oh, okay.
Right. I think there is one in Mexico. I know there's one in the British Museum, there's one there. But the Mitchell Hedges one is a really good looking one that they think it's probably a forgery, but they can't prove it. Even though they took it to Hewlett Packard and Hewlett Packard ran experiments on it. And they came to the conclusion that it was made out of one piece of crystal and that it's probably not a forgery, but there's people like contesting it back and forth, you know, so.
So it's not like the moon rocks, right? Petrified wood. That's real, folks. Look it up. I'm not making that up. Moon rocks on Earth, or at least a few of them.
When we get off air, remind me about Travis Walton. I got something for you on that. Just and maybe you can help me out, but remind me. But I don't forget. Anyway, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, fire in the sky for anyone out there. His story, Travis Walton, he's still kicking. He was on Joe Rogan a few years ago too, but I'd love to talk to him. But
I got him right here. So that's I'll send it to you.
All right.
I spoke to him a couple of times, but we never got it on air, you know? I just didn't connect anymore for whatever reason. But when you brought that up, I checked my phone. I'm like, it's still there.
So. Yeah, and he still has people trying to discredit him too, including one of the logger guys that were with him.
Right.
But some people speculate that it's more of a financial type issue. Maybe that's why they are recanting or something. But they pretty much stuck to his story since 1975. So all of a sudden now, you know. But anyway, yeah, no, that movie scared me as a child. Like, my father was supposed to take me to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, the time travel one.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know? And instead, he's like, fuck this. We're going over there. And I was all pissed. I was all like pissed. I was like, no, it's like March of 93. And he's like, I worked all day. I don't want to see that nonsense. You know what? I didn't like my father, but you know what? It was one of the best things he ever did, because it had like a lifelong obsession with UFOs. Because not only that, but also the story that my mother would tell, and then my uncle and grandfather would back up, about how her and the family were living in Newton, Massachusetts in like 1964 or 65. And they all saw a couple of those classic flying saucers. And they're not the type of people to be like, you know what, we're going to put one on over on the idiot kid. You know, I actually believed all of them. And I went and looked at Project Blue Book. Right. And there was an entry for Newton, Massachusetts in December of 1964 of someone calling to report a flying disc seen above Newton High School.
Really?
So I kind of got it corroborated. And apparently it was being reported all over the news at the time. And it was just a couple of years shy of the infamous 1966 East Coast blackout. I don't know if you ever heard about that.
I did. I wasn't alive, but
growing up, we would hear things about the blackout in 1966 and also the blizzard of 1978, which was really bad.
I wasn't alive for that one either.
Me neither. The reason I was saying all that is because it fueled a lifelong fascination with UFOs. And then I myself finally got to have my own experience in March of 1998, almost a year after the Phoenix Lights. My father and he was like, I'll never back you up. You know, don't tell anybody about this. We were coming back from the gun range of all places in Sharon, Massachusetts. And we pulled to the side of the road, and above a field, and this is like the dead of winter in New England, right? Above a field, we saw the, what would later be known as the Black Triangle, that would be silent and be hovering. Right. Mm-hmm. Making weird like movements, and the blinking lights on and off, different colors and stuff. Strobe light coming down the bottom of it scared the shit out of me. Wow. He started driving away, and he wasn't one to get scared easily at all, you know. So seeing him even made it more intense. Seeing him like fly, we were driving in a Bronco too, which back in the day was known to flip over very easily. So he was going around corners and stuff. I remember it like yesterday. Anyway, so. Enough of my verbal diarrhea right there, but yeah, UFOs, man. I want to believe, but I don't know if what we saw, I have a feeling what we saw was probably some kind of classified tech.
Likely. I think the majority of UFO sightings in the United States, or I mean, throughout the world, it's probably secret, you know, military air equipment, right? For lack of a better term.
If you remember, you know, the stealth bomber was, you know, that was classified for years and years until like 1989, I think. And if anyone saw one of those when it wasn't in stealth mode, then they would think it was from outer space probably. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't say anything about it because they were so good at shunning people from speaking out that they made it, oh, he's a kook. He's crazy. He's nuts. And now all of a sudden, that's why it's weird for us, like, for us old school UFO guys, you know, to hear terms like UAP, which I'll never refer to them as UAP. I don't care. I don't care what they decide to change, because you're not rewriting history at all. Like, not to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the fact that they're open about it, and you know, it's very sketchy.
I got you, bro. And the fact that they're being more open about it now makes me go back. I think Tony said it now, like the conspiracy theorist community is like, once they get confirmation, they pull back, you know, like, but he's right, you know, but I don't think it's confirmation. They will never confirm a UFO until one lands here. Right. If it's ever a thing, I think that 95, 98% of what we've seen And I mean, we as a species is ourselves doing whatever, right? That they're not telling the rest of the world about.
Yeah.
But I do think, and I also want to believe this, but if you stop and reasonably think about it, why is it out of the realm of possibility?
I know.
You know, like people just say, that doesn't exist. That's bullshit. You know, yeah. Like we don't know that. You might believe it doesn't exist, right? You'd be like, well, I believe that, but we don't know. And there are so many people that are like, no, it's a fact. UFOs don't exist.
They were so good at doing that crap for decades and decades, mm-hmm. making it so that just having the idea that we're not alone in the universe is akin to wanting to eat like your foot or something. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Oh, sorry. Thought I shut that off. Sorry. shut off. Anyway.
It's MUFON calling you.
It's MUFON. I'm in trouble. Please stop. Okay. Anyway. Moving on, if they'll leave me alone. I just shut
They really want to get in contact with you, bro.
No, I want to believe, but come on, man. Okay.
There you go.
Finally, ET phone home, apparently, but
you have to admire them for their persistence. You know, they're like, you know what? We're getting through to Chris Graves. I don't care what we have to do. I don't care how many times it's going to ring. So shout out to that person, whoever that was.
The probing from last time. Anyway, moving on.
No, but you know, if you stop and think about it, right.
Yeah.
I've had Eili Saitatan on my show. Are you familiar?
Yeah, hold on one second, Billy Ray. Keep talking. I'll be right back.
I got this. Digging Chris Graves. So they're calling Chris, and I believe that it's the CIA right now telling Chris that he needs to stop talking about UFOs and he needs to stop digging. He needs to stop. And right now we're going to get a completely different Chris Graves because the CIA has done a hell of a job at threatening him right now. In 5 seconds, they're like, no. Stop it. So there you go.
Yeah, they had to reprogram me for a second.
There you go.
But anyway, cool.
What's up?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, go on. No,
I had this guy, Eili Saitatan, and he was talking about, he's a Canadian filmmaker. He talks about UFOs and aliens from a Christian perspective. And he says that they're running a hybrid program, you know, and I could believe that. You know, I could. And people are like, well, that's kooky. That's crazy to think about. But they believe NASA, right? And they believe that there are an infinite amount of planets out there.
Yeah.
None of these planets have anything. They're just there. That doesn't make sense. You know, that doesn't make sense. They're just there with nothing in them. And then the thing that gets me the most is that they say they talk about alien life. And they were like, well, we're looking for proof of alien life, but there is no atmosphere that can sustain life. And there is no water, and we need water for life. That's like the human or the Earth style life, you know, biological life on Earth that needs a certain things. That doesn't mean it's going to be the same. It's going to be universal throughout. Right. Yeah. On Mars or on wherever, right? On Betelgeuse, whatever.
Yeah, Venus. Yeah,
all these planets, right? Like, I mean, it could be.
They've proven that life can. There's certain life that can be, that can survive in acid.
Right.
Like, I remember reading the articles. Like, there's other forms of life out there that don't share any of our traits. You know, that what we need to survive. And I agree with you. Every time they bring that up, it's like, well, you're assuming we're talking about other Earthlings out in the universe.
That doesn't style life, like the model has to remain the same. It's not the same. And then we also have to think about, let's say for argument's sake, that all these planets are quote unquote empty, right? Devoid of life, right? Maybe we just can't see it, we can't perceive it. You know, we have to tune into a different frequency in order to see everything that's there, even on even here, right? Whatever's in front of us right now.
That's what I actually think ghosts are.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think ghosts are coming in and out of other dimensions, And we don't have the senses to fully see what these entities are. I personally, and I'm open to it, but I personally have a feeling that what people are seeing and experiencing something when it comes to the ghost phenomenon. I'm not pissing on that at all.
Right.
I personally don't think it's the souls of human beings that are no longer alive. That's just me. Mm-hmm. I know I'll get in trouble with certain people by saying that, but I feel like whatever these people are experiencing, we don't have the full senses. And what you said basically crystallizes my feeling like for years on that.
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. I've never seen a UFO, but I've seen some what could be categorized as ghosts or things like that.
I haven't. I want to. I do.
I want to see a ghost. Seance. No. No, but for about 6 months, and this is weird as hell, right? For about 6 months, I saw shadow people.
Oh, yeah.
Like I literally saw here in this apartment. Wow. Right. And over there, I'm in the kitchen, but further down is a foyer, and then it leads into my living room. Yeah. And sitting in the living room, and it was at night.
Well, you're weird. Yeah.
Just like three or four little shadows popping. What the fuck is that? You know, and I mean, there's nothing else, you know, and I just let it be.
Right.
And then and it kept happening. And I'm like, wait, this is weird. You know, and then I told my wife, I'm like, I'm seeing some shadows over there. Am I losing my mind? You know, yeah. And she didn't see them. You know, I was the only person that was seeing them, you know. Right. But it happened for about 6 months. And it's not like I was trying to bring that on. You know, right. I was just sitting there and there just looked through the side of my eye, and then I looked, I'm like, there goes the shadow people, to the point where I became desensitized to it. Like it used to shock me before, and then I'm like, oh, there they are. Okay.
Wow.
You know, and to the point to when I think as soon as I made that realization or made that step, right, to say, oh, okay, it is what it is, they're there, then they stopped showing up. Oh. But it happened for 6 months, for about 6 months, give or take.
They
you know, I haven't seen them since. It's been years. You know, but
was the rent too high or? Thank you, everyone. I'll be here all
night. I'll be here all night. Yeah. But yeah, man. Like so, I saw those things for about 6 months. And I've seen other stuff. You know.
What would you attribute that to? Like, what in your mind? What do you say? Like,
nothing, bro. Wow. No idea. No idea. I don't know what it could be. It was something.
Because I've heard of that phenomenon, as I'm sure you have, and I don't know what to make of it.
I heard about it. I heard about it after the fact.
Oh,
excuse me. So it had already happened to me.
Yeah.
And then I heard somebody on Coast to Coast AM talking about shadow people. I'm like, oh, I know what that is.
You
know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know what that is. I've seen that. You know, and they say that it's bad. It's a bad omen. You know, or they're evil. And I spoke to my grandmother about it, you know, and my grandma was like, she was the one who told me, she was like, just let him be. She's like, they're there, just let him be. I'm like, okay. Wow. You know, and it worked.
It worked.
Yeah. But I've seen other things, you know, that are quote unquote supernatural.
Yeah.
You know, and I was telling my wife the other day, I'm like, I don't believe in the supernatural. I just think there's things that we don't know yet. So we call it supernatural. It's natural. It's natural, just like everything else.
It's a placeholder. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. We just don't know what it is, right? So there is no supernatural. There's just what is and what we don't know. That's it.
Do you have a take on out of body experiences or near death experiences? Because these are also subjects that I would study as a child, like the UFO phenomenon, ghosts, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, the Bermuda Triangle, and then you have out-of-body experiences where you find out some people have done experiments in that realm, and it's fascinating to me. But do you have a take on all those?
I think it's doable.
Yeah.
I think everybody can do it, you know?
Yeah.
I think all of these things, and then it comes into question as to whether or not we should be doing it. But right. Can everybody do it? Yeah, I think everybody can do it. You know, if you apply enough time, somebody used the analogy of it's like playing a piano with all of this stuff. I had, and I forget his name, I think it was John Smith. He was the head of the remote viewing program. He was down with Russell Tragg, I think it was his name.
Yeah.
A couple of others. I had John Smith on The Fringe years ago. He sent me a book. I should hit him up and we'll do another show. But he told me, he's like, you know, it's like playing a piano. Everyone can play a piano. Everyone. Some people are better at it than others, right? But everyone can do it, you know? So it made a lot of sense to me, you know? And so I think we can all remote view. What we're going to get is some, I don't know, you know, some people are more accurate than others, but I think we can all remote view, you know? And I think we can all leave our bodies. I think it's, we don't know what we can do as humans. And, right. and people immediately, when you start, especially in the Christian community, immediately when you start talking about that, they're like, oh no, you're trying to be God. Ain't nobody trying to be God. Well, right. Some people might try to be God, but that's not what I'm talking about. Right. I'm not, and I tell these people all the time, I'm not trying to be God. I'm trying to be human. Yeah. Let's be the optimal human that we can be. Yeah. Cause this sure as hell ain't it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. This sure is, we're falling way short of the glory of God. Right. Way short.
And consume, obey.
Right. Yeah. And I think if these abilities to do these things are there, who do you think gave them to us?
Right.
Who do you, right? And we're not using them to the point where they're telling us that it is wrong to use. You know, and then we believe they don't even exist. Yeah. You know, that we can't do these things. We can't have outer body experiences, or we can't remote view, or we can't perform telepathy, right? We can do all of these things, The human mind and the human body is the most advanced instrument that we know of, period. Yeah. End of story, full stop. There's no AI that can do what it is that we can do. There's some AIs that are quote unquote intelligent and they can process things quicker than us, but they can never. And they will never, ever be able to replicate consciousness. Still don't know what it is. And they'll never be a human, because human was created by God, not by us. You know, the creator created us. We are, you know, the top frills, what Toshiba TV, no, what's it? We are Samsung television, right? And then we're creating, I don't know,
Sony
television or something. Sony is still right.
My old black and white Sony TV as like a 5-year old. I remember that.
Right, right. Some black and white television on the right. Yeah, that's what we're doing or whatever. So AI is incredible, but we are more incredible than that. We just sell ourselves short all the time to the point that we think we have to create these things. And I don't think so. I think we can heal ourselves. You know, I think we can manipulate perception. I mean, manipulate reality. You know, I think we can do all of these things. And I don't think it's wrong to do.
Manifestation.
Right. Yeah, I think so.
I'm a believer in that.
No, I mean, I know it to be true. I've seen it done. I've done it at a very small level.
Me too.
I've done it. So I know it can be done. My wife has done it at a very large level. She's the one that put me on. And I'm like, damn, you did that. I'm like, well, let me try it too. And then it worked. You know, so I know it can be done. I try to be as humble about it and as grateful as I can possibly be in the eyes of God. But hey, thank you so much for these extra $5. Thank you. I'm not asking for $8 million, you know. I'm asking for what I need to survive.
Me too.
And it happens. It happens, you know, more often than not. So I know all of these things are possible, you know. Yeah. But we keep putting these barriers up for ourselves. We keep saying, no, we shouldn't be doing that. No, we can't do that. Says who?
I think certain human beings are utilizing all the things you mentioned, but we're not allowed to.
I agree with you. You know what fascinates me more than anything else, right? And I haven't had the time to be able to suss it out completely and link it to our faith system. Are you a Christian?
I believe in God, but I don't belong to any church or anything.
I got you. I'm a Christian by birth, right?
I was raised Catholic, but I'm no longer Catholic.
I was baptized Catholic, right? I was never really Catholic, but I believe in Christ, right? And,
yeah, me too.
But I'm fascinated by the Hindu religion, the Buddhist religion.
Yep.
If we can even call them that. But I'm fascinated by them and what they can do. And I mean the most devout of devout, you know, people that live in caves and meditate forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
The things that they can do are incredible. And these things have been tested in laboratories and verified, right?
Yeah. I'm a huge proponent of meditation. And I know right. that's not a... That'll get you in trouble in certain circles too, but I am big. I'm huge into the power of the mind.
And it's there, right? It's there. So there is Tibetan monks.
Yeah.
There's a certain branch of Tibetan monks that believe in the rainbow body, that they can transform. And in essence, not die.
Right.
They choose when they're going to transition, you know, and apparently they have in Tibet. And one day I'll go over there and check this out. Because they have, you know, people that have done it according to them, and their bodies shrink and they become preserved, and they still have these people's bodies, and they're on display for people to see some places. But they literally become beings of light, according to them. And they have documentation of this. And of course, we're here in the West. We're like, that's bullshit, right?
Right.
But they believe it, right? And they've documented it, you know. And then if you go over there and talk to some of these people, that's what they say, that's very possible. I think it's doable. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's true. And of course, full disclosure, I want to believe that it's true, but I think it's very doable. What's to stop us from doing that?
Ourselves.
Besides ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always look at them, or I look at Shaolin monks, right? And that's something that's more tangible. Right. That's something that we can prove, as opposed to the rainbow body. Look at what these people are doing. I mean, they are warriors, nails, right? Like, I mean, what these people can tolerate.
Yeah.
As far as their pain tolerance, there are some people that do Tummu meditation and they go meditate outside in the naked in the snow, and they don't feel anything.
I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. I'm trying to trying to zero in on that and not scare the neighborhood anymore. So we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, eventually, Chris. I'm sure we'll get there. You know, yeah. but they can regulate the temperature of their body.
Yeah.
I mean, we can go as far as that show that came out, if you want to go mainstream, the Stan Lee Superhumans, not too long ago before Stan Lee passed away.
That's right.
And he was the angle of the show was that he's looking for superheroes, right? They're just regular people, but there were regular people that did not so regular things, you know. And one guy stayed underwater forever, right? Then there's another guy that was able to run naked in the cold forever, you know, like and he did all these sorts of things. And we are all capable of doing these things, all of us. And we could look at, you know, how disciplined a Shaolin monk is and be like, damn, that's incredible. Or there are some of them that claim to be able to use their chi, right?
Yeah.
Which is a less provable, but there's examples of it in modern day. Right. Whether we believe them or not is something different, but the examples are there when they can just push people off by using the energy and people go flying, you know, or heal people with their hands. Well, there's also the Reiki healing and stuff, but that gets into something else, in my opinion. But I think there are people, there aren't a lot of people, but I think there are people that can do this, You know, and I think that's what we should be doing. And the ultimate distraction is the artificial.
Yeah.
The ultimate distraction is all this artificial stuff that we've built around us, this artificial life where we have to go to work and do what exactly for, you know, for 8-9 hours a day in order to get paper or whatever form of currency. And so you can buy stuff and live for 2 days, try to relax, you know, and have fun, you know, for 2 days and then go back and then buy, you know, computers and buy things that facilitate long distance conversations that we could be having on our own without them. Like yeah. I'd probably be able to contact, I believe this, it might sound crazy, but I'm probably be able to have a conversation with Chris.
Yeah.
Without all of this, if it wasn't there, if we were trained to use it, if we remembered how to use our abilities, right? But we don't, you know, and this, all of this that we've built to compensate for our lack of, you know, yeah. is really what's keeping us from getting to where we need to get. And I don't think there's any return from it, to be honest, you know, on unless we get a Neo from the Matrix that breaks out of it and shows us the way. Right.
Yeah.
And that would be Jesus, right? A long time ago, Jesus walked on water, right?
Yeah.
It's like, be like me.
Right.
Let's go walk on water. That'd be dope, right?
I wouldn't mind that. Right. Yeah. I got a bum knee right now, but I can work on it, you know? Do you think we could time travel through your dreams? I know now I'm really getting into the weeds, but I'm fascinated by that concept.
You know what I saw a few days ago, speaking about time travel was the Chronovisor. Are you familiar?
What is it?
The Chronovisor?
I was about to do an episode on that back in the summer before I got sick. The Chronovisor that the Vatican has. Why don't you tell everyone about that? Because I'm fascinated. I'd like to make a song about it, actually.
we should start
a kidding.
Chronovisor.
Yeah. Chronovisor. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't want the devil. Yeah, yeah. Throw up the horns for Chronovisor.
Yeah. Right, right. That's it. It'd be the end of us. But they, I mean, it's probably nonsense. They've never verified the Chronovisor, right? There was this, I think it was a monk in the Vatican or a priest that decided that they should build something like this. And he got like all the top scientists of the time to come together and put together a machine that doesn't necessarily take you back in time, but that you can view the past. Because the past exists no matter what. All the remnants are there of the past, and you can zero in on whatever's there, whatever the particles is, and bring them together to see a picture of the past. And that's why it sounds plausible to me.
Yeah.
And right. And they said that this machine was built and that they were able to view the crucifixion.
Yep.
Right. And the thing is, I don't know the names of the guys. I don't know them off the top of my head, but one of the proponents of this thing is considered to be a very serious man. Like why would he come up with bullcrap, right? Why would he start spreading nonsense and lies? To the day he died, he said the Chronovisor is real and it's in the Vatican.
Yep.
And you can see the past. And they claim to have seen the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like they literally saw it. Right. Yep. They had pictures, but the pictures were debunked. The pictures are false. Right. They're not from the Chronovisor. If there ever were any pictures. Right. But that's what happened. They took it to the Pope, and the Pope at the time decided that it's too much of a powerful device and it could fall into the wrong hands. So you had to destroy it, but they didn't destroy it. Right. Cause why would they, they keep it in the vault in the Vatican where no one else can see it. So it could be down there, but it's could be nonsense. Also, I believe that it can be done. But who knows? Right. So, I mean, it's funny you should bring that up. I don't know if we can go back in the past, you know, who knows about time in general, right? I mean, if we go into the future, what are we going to, it's just aging things, right? I mean, I don't know. We can go into the future, right? That's been proven to a certain degree that if we go fast enough, you can go seconds into the future.
If you go faster than the speed of light.
Right.
Yeah.
You can go seconds or something into the future. So that's possible. But going into the past, like physically, I don't know. I think while I would love to believe that we could do it, I think that's one of the hard stops that God put in the way. He's like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, figure out something else, but you're not going to be able to do that because that'll mess everything up, right? Or you can look at the theories, you know, that have been popularized nowadays by the Marvel movies where things branch off, right?
Yes.
So if you do go back you can go back into the past, but you will alter things to a point where you can never return to your reality. It'll be another reality.
Create a new
dimension. Different streams of reality. Eventually you can find your way back to your own reality, but it'll be chances of one in a million because there's so many realities. So you'd go back to a version of your reality, but it won't be your reality. And that would really suck, right? To come back and things aren't, something's off, right? And that's why people think the Mandela effect is, right? That something's off. If it's that minor, it may not be that bad, but still you want to come back to where you came from. So I don't know. I'm back and forth on it, right? Sometimes I'm like, yeah, we can go back into the past. And sometimes I'm like, nah, we can't go back into the past.
I would love to be able to do that. But here's again, another feeling I have that the past, present, and future are all happening simultaneously.
I want to try that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a DVD player. And if anybody knows what a DVD player is at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right. But that DVD contains the past, the present, and the future of what you're watching. It's all there. You can rewind it, you can fast forward, or you can live in the moment. But it's all there.
And you can have director commentaries, deleted scenes. Right. You can have
different frequencies, right? You got to go to a different channel, right? Yeah. Or a radio station does that, right? You can't necessarily fast forward. What I mean, I guess you can. You can now, but you have a different frequency, right? You go to a different channel. And you tune into the different frequency and you hear something else, right? A different station come altogether.
That was beautiful how you did that too, because you brought us right back to the beginning with the radio station.
Not even meaning to do that, but yeah, that's exactly how that happened. I should have taken full credit. It was at the entire time I was meaning to close it up with a nice bow. And
you were manifesting it.
Right. Like, so I was like, you know what? Boom. Let me take it. But that unfortunately was not the case.
Before we do go, I have had someone in my life long term that it's hard to explain without sounding like, oh yeah, he watched too much Stephen King or whatever, but there is someone in my life that I've had some kind of a connection with where we'll be thinking about very, very similar things and then we'll contact each other within sometimes immediately or, you know, within at least a few days, you know. And I know I'm not the only one that happens to, but I think there is something to that. And I also go into the idea of reincarnation too. Like it's possible that the same group of souls kind of travel together possibly to the next level or the next grade if you compare it to like a school. Yeah. So you hit nirvana basically, you know.
And something's certainly up. Right. Something certainly up.
Because when people you meet, you go, it felt like I just met him like 5 minutes ago, but it feels like I've known him my whole life. There's something.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There are no coincidences of the people that you bump into.
Yeah.
Me and Chris Graves are from two totally different worlds.
Yep.
There was no reason that you and I should be connected right now, but we are. Right. We are, you know, and people watching after the fact are listening. You're listening to this for a reason, you know, that it's even though we have free will, things are put in place for you to explore or maybe not. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe in reincarnation. I don't believe in a hell. People get pissed at me for that. Yeah. I don't believe in it, or not a hell the way it's been popularized as, you know, like
a red devil with a pitchfork,
right, with a pitchfork and whatever. No, right. It says it's being away from God or further away from God. That's hell. I can subscribe to that.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in hell. I think that.
I think hell's on earth. I think hell's right here on earth, to be honest.
I mean, I think, you know, I used to think that too, but this place is freaking beautiful. It has a lot of pain.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I'm referring to, the suffering and stuff that
it has a lot of suffering, you know. And you're not guaranteed to be happy, but you're guaranteed to suffer.
Yeah.
You know, you're guaranteed to suffer. You got to earn the happiness, but that's what makes you happy, because you earn it. You go after it, you know.
Well, that's my next that's my next metal album too. Guaranteed to Suffer. Guaranteed to Suffer by what was
by the Chronovisor.
Chronovisor. Guaranteed to Suffer.
Guaranteed to Suffer.
I'm making those t-shirts tomorrow.
Dope. Dope. Our first single, American Paranoia, coming out very soon.
Poignant point, or So
you know, and so I don't think this is hell. But you can make an argument that this is a school. And I know people say, oh my God, those are new age thoughts or whatever, but you can really make the argument. And that's why reincarnation would be a thing. You know, you didn't quite learn whatever lesson you needed to learn to get to the next level, whatever that level is. I don't know.
Spiritually, you didn't learn your lesson.
And then so you get to come back. Or it's not necessarily about learning lessons, but it's about experiencing life in different ways, right? You want to experience life as a plant. See how that goes. You know, let's experience life as a jungle animal, right? Or as my mother, you know, or whatever. You experience it in whatever ways, however many times you want to do that, right?
Yeah. Or as Michael Keaton or something, you know?
Right. You know, you could be Michael Keaton. You know? You could be Batman.
They used to tell me that you could be anything you want to be. So I'm going to hold them to it.
But you know what? One thing's for sure. The only thing that's for sure is that we're all going to find out, right? You know, fuck around and find out, but you're going to find out. So we're all going to find out at the end of the day. And I have this discussion with Brissom quite often, with John Brissom, and we argue heavily about it. Like, we have our actual arguments. And I tell him all the time, I'm like, dude, the only thing that you know is that you don't know a damn thing. That's the only thing that you really know.
Yeah.
And he's like, nope, that's not true. That's not true. He's like, there is a universal fact and all this stuff. I'm like, dude. I'm talking about the universal fact of whatever. We don't even know what that is. I'm right. Like, unless you know something that I don't, you know, if we're all living here in the same place and we're all like sharing individual experiences and it's not the Truman Show, right? then we're all here as strangers in a strange land. We have no idea how we got here, and we don't know what's going to happen when we leave here.
Yeah.
No idea. Right.
And so, you know what? I'm fine with that. I used to be scared of that idea, but I'm fine with it.
Of course we're fine with it. It's our destiny. We have to be fine with it, right? There is no, not, I mean, you cannot be fine with it and torture yourself for the rest of your life, but it's the only thing that we know for a fact it's going to happen. You're going to suffer and you're going to die. You're going to feel pain and you're going to die. That's it.
That's another album right there.
Suffer and Die by Chronovisor. American Paranoia.
What was it? Guaranteed to Suffer.
Two songs. Somebody's gonna rip this off, Chris. Somebody in the chat is gonna rip this whole thing off and start a band. We're gonna be really pissed about it, because listen, if you rip it off and you have mainstream success, 5% goes to Chris and BRV. Don't forget.
I was gonna say, right now we're copywriting that right here. This is the document right here. Audio visual document. Chronovisor, Guaranteed to Suffer.
Right. And we will sue your ass. All right. And teach you about suffering. Okay. We will humble your ass. Okay. Make sure you get us
on. I'll get on legal Zoom and I'll find out how to do it. I guarantee it. You know,
fantastic.
We'll get that done. But anyway, this has been great. I love it. Legal Zoom is not a sponsor yet. You never know.
But it will be.
I'll manifest it if I have to.
Oh, I think that's happening. Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Billy Ray, this is great. And I always get a kick out of chatting with you. And we didn't get to go into we didn't end up tackling the, you know, the news of the day, because quite frankly, I can't really stand the news of the day, except for tuning into America Unplugged every Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Right.
That's not what I mean. I just mean the news can be kind of a downer throughout the week. So we'll hear about that on Saturday. Tonight we'll talk about, you know, UFOs and Bigfoot and astral projection and whatnot. But anyway. Dude,
it's dope, man. I love having these conversations. You know, it's fantastic. And I have to bring on more people on the fringe that I can have these conversations with. I used to do it a little bit more often before, and then things started getting serious around here, meaning on Earth. So we kind of shifted a little bit, but we're going to get, not that things aren't serious now, but at this point, I'm like you, Chris, you know, sometimes I watch this stuff and I'm like, man,
I need a break. I need a break.
Right. I don't want to talk about this nonsense anymore. And then have people, you know, get pissed off at you because you're trying to warn them about something, and they call you black pilled and all this other shit. I'm like, man, fuck that. You know, all I want to do is talk about astral projection.
People
get upset at you for talking about that. They're like, oh man, it's, don't do yoga. You're going to go to hell. You're going to open up God knows what.
Relax. That one is true. I have documentation to back that one up.
Send it to me, please.
I'll fax it to you. All right. Well, Billy Ray, so tell everyone where they can find you, if in fact you want to be found, and where they can find your show and all the greatness.
Can I steal that?
Yeah.
I think I want to steal that. Charlie Robinson stole my don't burn the place down while I'm gone.
He took that?
Yeah, and he told me, bold face to my face, he told me, he's like, well, I'm stealing that.
At least he told you, right? Most and people then he, just stabbed in the back.
Right. And then he went ahead and did it. So
and now you're like, oh, God.
So I figured I'd even though I'm inevitably going to forget, Chris, but I'd love to steal that.
I don't even remember what I just said.
So. Well, you said, you know, he's like, well, tell everybody where they can find you if in fact you do want to be found.
There you
which
go.
Which is good. I thought that was very cool.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Well, there you go.
Thank you so much, bud. AmericaUnplugged.com, America Unplugged on Rockfin. You know, that's Saturday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live. And you can find the podcast on anywhere you can find podcasts. America Unplugged. That's with Don Jeffries and Tony Arterburn. Freeworld.fm. Everybody's going to be broadcasting out of there very soon. Get a hop on it and go over there and check it out. What's going on? I'm going to be doing shows. Chris is going to be, I think this show is going to be on today on freeworld.fm. You know, not this one in particular, but Digging Chris Graves is what I mean. This brand will be on Fridays on freeworld.fm. Don Jeffries, Tony Arterburn, Charlie Robinson, Wayne McCroy, you know, you name it, Gar Goldsmith, everybody's going to be broadcasting out of Free World, William Ramsey, all these people.
Tell us real quick about Rat Salad, because this guy's really cool. I was chatting with him in the Free World chat the other night.
That's my guy, Wayne. Wayne used to listen to my pro wrestling stuff when I did pro wrestling stuff, you know, and he would hit me up, and then he started listening to the Fringe, you know, and then he asked me to do a show, and we became friends, you know, and he was a big supporter of what we do, but he is a musician, and he has a ridiculous like album collection. You should talk to him. I think you guys.
He's already hooked me up with a few possible guests for Cranium Blender.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be crazy.
That guy seems cool.
When he heard we were launching Free World, he's like, yo, you know, and he knows me fairly, you know, I mean, we've never met, but he knows this aspect of me. Like if anybody that deals with me to a certain degree knows that sometimes I'm hard to get a hold of, you know, and I don't have a lot of time, you know, so he knows this and he just stays on top of me.
Yeah. Like, hey, Billy, don't forget. Hey, Billy, don't forget, you know? So right, we got to the point. He's like, I want to be on Free World. I want to do this. I want to do that. So finally, when we got to the point where we were onboarding people, and I didn't remember, boom, here it showed up. I'm like, oh, Wayne.
Yeah.
Got to get him on. And he does Rat Salad. He's been doing it for quite some time, and he has a ton of guest stuff from he thinks I listen to wussy music, you know. He makes fun of me, you know. Yeah,
he played Slayer for me the other night. Dead Skin Mask.
Yeah, man, that's nothing compared to all the other stuff he plays, man. I don't know. I can't hang. But
it was awesome. It was giddy.
But he's a cool dude. So that's over there on Free World also. And yeah. You know, we're moving along. Eventually we're gonna start promoting super hard and getting eyeballs over there and ear holes. So go be the coolest kids in the room. Do it now, you know.
That's right.
And also the infinitefringe.podbeam.com, the Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcasts. That's the only place you can really find it, unless you have rogue podcatchers that mirror the iTunes, the Apple Podcast feed, because it's not on Spotify, it's not on Google Play, it's not on any of these platforms. So if you want to listen to the Fringe, it's on Apple Podcast and it's on Podbeam, because they're the ones that what is it, they house my podcast. So I've used them since I started. They're fantastic.
You can also access it if you have any of those X-Men powers that I've been trying to look out for.
Yes like Professor X. That's an incredible power to have. And, yeah. And people have brought
the
it wheel, up.
That wheelchair is awesome. That's powered by the solar power, I think. That's what you're talking about, right? That power? Yes.
No.
Oh.
I mean, you're being funny or serious? Like, he, you know, he the mind control, he can read people's minds.
Know.
It's like, that's what I want.
I went to the chair. He's got the Batmobile of wheelchairs, you know?
Yeah, he does. But I don't want none of that, right? I don't want to be able to fly or anything like that. I mean, I would take it if they gave it to me, but if I had to choose, it would probably be Professor X's power, because that's the dopest, you know?
Mine would just be sexiness.
You already have that, Chris. We're on freeworld.fm, right?
There you go.
We're only the sexy people. That's what I say on.
So sexy, we're audio only right now.
That's what I say on Free World. I mean, on Free World, on my, I have another wrestling podcast that I do with my friends, the Andrew Bello and Strangler Steve King. Shouts to them. And I open up every show. They call us the 11-11 boys for obvious reasons. But, like, hey, this is only for the sexy people. If you're not sexy, see your way out of here. And you know who I'm talking about, all right? So sexy comes in all shapes and sizes. You know, it's a state of being. It's not necessarily how you look. It's just being sexy as hell. And that's what we are, Chris. And everybody listening, because by default, so you already have that power, sir.
And I have a lot of defaults. That's documented. All right.
Fantastic.
This has been awesome, everyone. And thanks for tuning in. And till we meet again. End of stream.